May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 803, the first part. The things on earth which men esteem, and of their richness boast, in value less or greater seem, proportioned to their cost. Hymn 803, the first part.
Thank you. read together from the most holy word of God, from the prophecy of Zephaniah. Zephaniah's prophecy in the third chapter. Zephaniah chapter 3. Woe to her that is filthy and polluted, to the oppressing city. She obeyed not the voice. She received not correction. She trusted not in the Lord. She drew not near to her God. Her princes within her are roaring lions. Her judges are evening wolves. They gnaw not the bones till the morrow. Her prophets are light and treacherous persons. Her priests have polluted the sanctuary. They have done violence to the law. The just Lord is in the midst thereof. He will not do iniquity. Every morning doth he bring his judgment to light. He faileth not. But the unjust knoweth no shame. I have cut off the nations. Their towers are desolate. I made their streets waste, that none passeth by. Their cities are destroyed, so that there is no man, that there is none inhabitant. I said, surely thou wilt fear me. Thou wilt receive instruction, so their dwelling should not be cut off. Howsoever I punished them, but they rose early and corrupted all their doings. Therefore wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon mine indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. For then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord, to serve him with one consent. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my suppliants, even the daughter of my dispersed, shall bring mine offering. In that day shalt thou not be ashamed for all thy doings, wherein thou hast transgressed against me. For then I will take away out of the midst of thee them that rejoice in thy pride, and thou shalt no more be haughty because of my holy mountain. I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. For they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord hath taken away thy judgments. He hath cast out thine enemy. The King of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil any more. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not, and to Zion, let not thine hands be slack. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He'll rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly, who are of thee, to whom the reproach of it was a burden. Behold, at that time I will undo all that afflict thee, and will save her that halteth, and gather her that was driven out. And I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. At that time will I bring you again, even in the time that I gather you. For I will make your name and a praise among all people of the earth, when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Lord. May the Lord be pleased to bless to us a reading of his most holy word, and grant all needed help now in prayer. O most merciful, ever gracious, and almighty Lord God. Once again, thou hast spared each of our unworthy lives to gather in thy courts on this another Sabbath day. Thou hast maintained under us the breath we breathe. Oh, not dealt with us according to our iniquities. In wrath thou hast remembered mercy, and we have favoured to gather in thy courts, and all there might be this day with a living desire. Our living desire, because there is a need, and that need which thou hast wrought in the heart of the sinner. That sinner thou hast taken in hand, caused to turn unto thee. Yes, with all their wretchedness, all their emptiness and their utter ruin, as they feel it to be so. But they come like those Greeks of old. Sirs, we would see Jesus. We plead that it might be so. Not just empty forms, through custom. There might be in each one's heart, from the youngest here to the oldest, a give me Christ, or else I die. So if there are those yet unconcerned, satisfied with forms, satisfied with that which is of the flesh, a religion which is of the flesh, not of the spirit. Oh, may it please that thy word might go forth like that sharp two-edged sword even this day, to awaken out of that dead sleep in which they were conceived and born, conceived in sin and shapen in iniquity. And who can know it? And none can know it until the Spirit begins that work. And so we plead, might be those in whom that work has begun this day. Oh, we plead that as thou dost look upon the heart, and as thou hast seen us enter into the door, through the doors, may there be a searching of the hearts. The searching of the heart by the Spirit, and an uncovering of that desperate need, which they knew not before. They might truly know what it is to smite upon the breast, and cry, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And so we plead, as thou hast favoured us to gather, and we would not be unmindful of those unable to gather, detained in their own homes, and perhaps it may be on a hospital bed, thou knowest. but thou art not confined to place or means or mode. Go to them where they are. Go to them where they are. And Lord, we plead even for the prodigals that perhaps left thy courts here or elsewhere, perhaps many years ago, perhaps not so long ago. Oh, they may be in that place in the world at the moment enjoying that which satisfies the craving of the flesh, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Oh, that there might be even this day the cutting up of all that root and branch. They see there is death, eternal death stamped upon it all. To be rolled back with nothing in their hands, emptied of all self, with an aching void that the world cannot fill, with nothing in their hands to bring. But all there's that venturing to return to the Father's household. Perhaps a word has been brought to their remembrance even this Sabbath morning as they're going about that which the lust of the flesh delights in. That word which thou didst sow in their heart many years ago is now breaking forth into the light and accomplishing, yes, further accomplishing that whereto thou didst send it. Ah, yes, it's been accomplishing it if it is that word which was fell upon a little bit of good ground in that one's heart, and they turned aside, tried to run away from it. But that root has been taking a deeper root downward, that seed of thy word. And now it breaks forth into the light and it cannot be hidden, cannot be suppressed anymore. I will work and who shall let it? None can stay his hand or say, what doest thou? Oh, may it please thee then. Go to this one and that one, far off sinners. For thine arm is not shortened that cannot save, even unto the uttermost. Oh, even unto the uttermost. Oh, may it be said of one or another even now, behold, he prayeth, a vessel of mercy, a chosen vessel unto me, wrought upon powerfully by the Spirit, causing that one to turn as thou dost take out their stony heart and give that heart of flesh and those new and living desires. Oh, we plead that it might be so. Oh, we plead that it might be so. And also are there none of thy dead elect in and around these parts here, this little corner of thy vineyard, in the village of Swavesey or the surrounding parts? Are there none of thy dead elect whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Oh, hasten that time when thou'd also bring them in. Oh, bring them in with a living desire. Bring them in. Ah, yes, thou knowest where they are. Thou canst work wonders. And thou dost work wonders. Oh, we know of one another even in our day. Thou hast brought them out of the depths of the world. Nothing is too hard for thee. And so we plead to awaken many sinners round to come and fill the place. But as we've been able to gather, we think upon one another here. But we think especially upon the dear young friends, the babes in arms and those that are growing up and going on into years. Ah, what a dark and evil day in which their lot is cast. But oh, hedge them about, O Lord, we plead. And may there be that wrought in their hearts like it was in Samuel of old. Ah, yes, in his very young years was it not that wrought in his heart? And so we plead there might be so for each one of the little ones. I'll take them in hand whilst young in years, and lead them and guide them, and may they be brought him to seek first the kingdom of God and thy righteousness, and prove that all these other things shall be added unto them, those things which are necessary for time, those things which are necessary for their path here below, but all to seek first the kingdom of God, but to commit their way unto thee even in their young years, to cast all their cares upon thee. Oh, we look back to our own childhood and youth, and oh, how many cares we had then, cares and troubles and things we couldn't discuss with another. But oh, what a mercy there is one that knows, one that knows our frame and remembers that we are but dust. Ah, that one that truly, yes, cares much for his sheep and certainly for the lambs in Christ's fold, cares much for them. And so we plead to undertake for them, enable them to roll their burdens upon thee. Grant parents that wisdom and knowledge and understanding needed in our day, a day in which evil is called good and good is called evil. The law is slacked. Ah, yes, what solemn things we witness in our day. What solemn things we hear of, we read. How solemn, we have fallen as a nation. Certainly we've turned thee the back and not the face. Wicked men, even in their, yes, they may be in that minority, but their voice is heard over and above that which is right. Is taken note of, and what laws we have now upon our statute book, which are an abomination in thy sight. And so we plead that thou wouldst give wisdom unto parents to counter those things which are taught, which are promoted, and perhaps are brought to such a stand at times, neither know we what to do. But may they prove like Jehoshaphat, and perhaps like the parent even this day, and that which is before them is like that great company that came up against Jehoshaphat and the peoples of Judah and Jerusalem. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are up unto thee. And may they prove that, yes, that which seems an impossibility, perhaps they know of one that had to go and speak to a member of staff at a school, and it was with much trembling. But how they had to commit it unto thee. And they proved that thou wast that one, proving that the battle was not theirs, but thine. And so may they likewise prove the battle is not yours, but God's. Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord. And thou canst make those that perhaps one fears, perhaps a parent fears one that you may have to speak to. But didst thou not shut the mouths of lions in the case of Daniel? They couldn't lay hold upon him. They couldn't tear him. They couldn't destroy him. Oh, may they likewise prove that thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever. Those in the midst of life, whether it is a busy housewife and mother in the home, those in their workplaces, yes, those in their studying, and certainly those also in the even time of life, it is a day, is it not, where things happen in a moment, such as the technology in our day. We can soon become bowed down with cares and troubles and trials and tribulations one after another. And oh, how we have to plead, do we not, with that simple petition. Lord, help me. Lord, undertake for me. Just a few words at times, but perhaps even it's a groaning, groaning under a burden. Oh, dost thou not know the groans, as well as the fallings of the tear, the burdens of a sigh and the upward glancing of the eye? Ah, sometimes amidst our trials, words fail us, we cannot speak. But ah, there's that one that knows our frame, knows everything that comes into the path, knows the beginning from the end, and is able to succour, strengthen, and help. Ah, what a mercy, that exhortation of the Apostle Paul unto the Hebrews. We have a glorious high priest, have we not? That is a failing for us in all our infirmities, was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The times of need. Oh, do remember those in their varied and various paths, the younger and the older, and all those in between. Remember those in the even time of life, they feel the mud-walled cottage shake. Heart and flesh begin to fail. Be unto them that blessed remembrancer. Perhaps their mind and their body seem so weak and frail. But oh, bring to their remembrance all the way which thou hast led them. Bring to their remembrance all the words which thou hast spoken unto them. And grant them those fresh tokens of thy love and thy mercy. May they continually feel the God of Jeshurun rideth upon the heaven in their help, and his excellency upon the skies, and underneath are the everlasting arms. The everlasting arms. What a mercy that word is there, everlasting. Cannot be removed. It's ever there and shall be. For the poor trembling worm Jacob's, down to the end of time, the everlasting arms. So to remember them we plead, remember any in their sicknesses. There are many sick in our day, are they not? Sanctify the path and sweeten it all, any pain, sweeten it. And think of our own dear one having been brought for an operation in the past days. We plea for her, but others also. We seek thy blessing upon any means that we have in our day. And so we plea for the afflicted. Do sanctify, draw near and comfort. And may it please thee that any affliction might be for this one or that one, for the good of their never dying souls. Amongst thee all things that work together for good. To them that love God, to those that are called according to his purpose. Remember those that mourn, and we think of those here. We likewise in our measure mourn with them. But, O Lord, what a mercy indeed. It is not that mourning without any hope. But, O Lord, thou knowest natural sorrow. Comfort each we plead. Ah, make up where that gap is. Ah, yes, this one or that one, they fill that gap. Ah, be unto them that one that loveth at all times a brother born for adversity. These are times of natural adversity. Ah, we plead then. May it please us be unto this one and that one. A brother born for adversity. And yea, even that one that sticketh closer than a brother, that well deserves the name of friend. And so to remember those in their days of mourning, but remember any in particular singular circumstances. Ah, perhaps they feel no one ever understands my case, no one ever touches upon it. Ah, but truly there is that one, even as Job had to declare, he knoweth. He knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. So remember such we plead. I do remember Zion this day, the little hills of Zion. And certainly we're minished and brought low. What desolations we have seen. Ah, departings, turnings aside, confusion wrought. Ah, stumbling, cause many to stumble. But, O Lord, we plead, do yet arise for our help. Raise up again, restore, rebuild. But, oh, what a mercy, there ever shall be a remnant. There ever shall be a remnant. Oh, we read in a portion of one of thy sermons of old, Huntingdon. Ah, yes, man, at times things well. Ah, the destruction of the church of Zion, but it can never be. For it is founded upon a rock, which is Christ. It is founded upon a rock, which is Christ. Unmovable, unshakable. Yes, things seem to shake us, do they not? They cause us to tremble. We wonder at times where the scene will end. But, O Lord, what a mercy indeed. That church, thy church, can never be destroyed. Not by men, not by devils, not by anyone. Why, not by all those enemies that rise up. And certainly are there many enemies in our day, are there not? Yes, we live in a secular world. A world of false gods. But it can never destroy thy church. Ah, blessed be God. And so we would then thank thee that thy word declares as regards thy church and the gatherings together of thy people, where they gather, perhaps twos and the threes, thou hast promised to be in the midst, and thou wilt favour and bless them. And thy word declares, does it not? Ah, thou would abundantly bless Zion's provision. It's in thy word we plead it. We plead that precious promise that thou would abundantly bless Zion's provision and satisfy her poor bread. And we thank thee for it. Have we not proved it, one another of us, in our measure? When we've been brought to those very low places, we have proved thee to be a comforter. We prove thee to be our sufficiency. We have proved to thee to be that one that does feed and does grant those crumbs of mercy and those sips from the well of salvation. We prove thee to be that one that lifts up our weak hands and confirms our feeble knees. Ah, what a mercy. Help laid upon one that is mighty. Ah, help us each now this day. This one to speak in thy name. Lord, we need that help. Ah, give unto us each hearing ears and the heart to understanding. Yes, even the one that stands up to speak. The hearing ear. We might likewise hear a word for our good. Ah, we're as much need as those in the pew. So we plead for it. Help each one. Bless us each together. Do us each good. Send none empty away. May thy word be a living word. Not the dead letter upon the page. But that word that goes forth in the power of the Spirit. To truly accomplish that whereto thou hast sent it, and not return unto thee void. And do remember, Lord, we plead, we would not be unmindful of this guilty, sinful land and nation. We see thy judgments in the nations of the earth and in this nation. Ah, yes. And we tremble. Verily, we feel not many have heeded or taken note. Ah, but may there be yet that wrought in the heart of many. Ah, yes, to consider the latter end. Oh, how soon, in a moment, our lives can be taken down. Sometimes it is short, the warning. But, O Lord, we plead there might be yet in our day through these things an awakening. But it brings us each, and may it bring us each even here as we gather in thy courts. The lines, prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. For thy spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. In Christ's obedience clothe, and wash me in his blood. So shall I lift my head with joy among the sons of God. Oh, how we have need of that washing. Ah, how we have need of that clothing. Oh, if we have filthy rags upon us still. If we have a linsey-walsey garment, strip it from us. And may we be found in that day clothed upon with that robe which Christ hath wrought. That spotless, seamless robe. And so we plead now, help us each. Help us each, bless us each together. Those that give out the hymns, one this morning, and if it is I will, one again this evening. Ah, there's a labour in that, is there not? May they prove from time to time that they neither labour in vain nor spend their strength for naught. Pardon and forgive then our many sins, our often failings, our constant shortcomings. Wash us each in thy precious blood. We plead for Christ's sake. Amen.
Let us continue with hymn 803, the second part. 803, part 2. And did the darling Son of God for sinners deign to bleed? The purchase of that precious blood must needs be rich indeed. 803, part 2.
Thank you.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, we turn to the chapter we read in Zephaniah chapter 3, and read verse 12. The prophecy of Zephaniah chapter 3, and read verse 12. I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 12. I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. As I thought upon the various prophets and their prophecies, were they not anointed and sent forth of Almighty God to proclaim those things unto the peoples of Judah and Jerusalem? Yes, to warn the wicked. To warn the wicked, and yes, when we think of the peoples of Judah and Jerusalem, they were those chosen people. But were they not a rebellious people? They soon went a whoring, did they not, from their God, the one true God? They turned aside, did they not, and worshipped the gods of those nations round about them? How solemn indeed, but are we not the same? And therefore those prophecies are as much needful in our day. We likewise need those warnings, those exhortations. And yes, they were warned and exhorted to return unto the Lord, to turn aside and turn back from their evil ways. But oh, how solemn we find again and again, they heeded not. And I turn just now again just to a word that also came to my mind this morning when I got up early. And the prophet Isaiah. Yes, he found in his day, did he not? And such is the heart of man in his rebellion. The heart of man by nature doesn't want to heed to anybody's exhortations and warnings or rebuking, doesn't want to heed. And like it was in Isaiah's day, he said, did he not, as we read it in that prophecy, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. How solemn indeed. And you read through those prophecies, both the minor prophets as well as the major prophets, if we can put it in that way, they're all sent forth of the Lord. And yes, how at times they were despitefully used. You think of Jeremiah, when he prophesied and warned and sought to exhort the people in the Lord's name. Yes, to get them to turn. It wasn't his own words, it was the words of the Lord. To seek to turn them as is at one, the mouthpiece of Almighty God. But how they struck him, despitefully used him, and cast him into the mire where he sank. He cast him into that dungeon where he sank in the mire. And so the Lord's people, and certainly the Lord's servants, Those sent forth, they find their monks. Ah, yes, at times we find, do we not, when the wrath of man is stirred up against the word of the Lord. Ah, they find likewise with Jeremiah. And Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet, was he not? We have, do we not, the lamentations of Jeremiah. And so they dwelt in amongst those peoples. And like as we read, regard Ezekiel, one also that prophet sent of the Lord to warn of those judgments to come because of their sins and their iniquities. And they heard not, and those judgments came. That time came when the Lord sent forth judgment upon the earth amongst his people, and they were taken away captive. And even the prophet Ezekiel, was he not? He was likewise taken away captive. And he was found, was he not, among the captives. You read the first chapter of Ezekiel. I was among the captives by the river of Chebar. So I turned to that this morning also. There's that hope, is there not? They were not forsaken. We know there are those there that fear the Lord. They were likewise taken captive with the wicked and the foolish and the unrepentant. They were taken captive. But like we read as regards Ezekiel, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the vision of God. Even in that captivity, the Lord didn't forsake his people. And those of the Lord's servants there, the word still came to them to encourage them likewise. Blessed be God. He is the same yesterday, today and forever. The same yesterday, today and forever. But old Ezekiel, yes, my mind went, it's been over the past number of days as regards this word that we've tried to bring, well, in that way we hope to bring before you. But old Ezekiel, as my thoughts and meditations went to him, it took me back to the very chapter that I trust, if it less awfully deceived, but when I was brought into the exercise of the ministry, that 11th chapter in Ezekiel's prophecy, and how that 11th chapter was pressed heavily upon my spirit, and especially, yes, the Lord's servants, they have to speak, not to fear men's frowns nor court their smiles. They have to speak. Thought upon it yesterday. If we did not speak all that the Lord gives us to speak, to warn the wicked, to warn the unruly, to warn the out of the way, should not in that day of judgment their blood be upon our heads. We stand in a solemn place. It causes this one to tremble. But that is so. We stand in a very solemn place before Almighty God. And if we diminish his word, if we subtract from it, if we try to water it down, we try to make it more palatable, more acceptable, how solemn will be that day. But all that chapter 11 in Ezekiel, and is, as I said, in the burden and exercise of the ministry those years ago now, and especially that verse 5, and the Spirit of the Lord fell upon thee, and said unto me, speak, Thus saith the Lord, thus have ye, O house of Israel, for I know the things that come into your mind, every one of them. Ye have multiplied your slain in this city, and ye have filled the streets thereof with the slain. Thus saith the Lord God, your slain whom ye have laid in the midst of it, they are the flesh, and this city the cauldron. But I'll bring you forth out of the midst of it. But oh, yes, as he then went on down through that chapter, as that was spoken unto the prophet Ezekiel. And then we read in verse 13, do we not? And it came to pass when I prophesied that Pelatiah the son of Benaiah died. Then fell I down upon my face and cried with a loud voice and said, Ah, Lord God, wilt thou make a full end of the remnant of Israel? Wilt thou make a full end? That was his burden. Wilt thou make a full end? And in that same chapter, blessed be God. What a mercy indeed. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, thy brethren, even thy brethren, the men of thy kindred, and all the house of Israel holy, are they unto whom the inhabitants of Jerusalem have said, Get you far from the Lord, unto us is this land given in possession. Therefore say, Thus saith the Lord, O God, although I have cast them off, them far off among the heathen, and although I have scattered them among the countries, yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come. Therefore say, Thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather you from the people and assemble you out of the countries where ye have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. Oh, that promise to that remnant, a remnant that mourn, a remnant that sigh and cry for the abominations done in the land. But it brings to that question, does it not? Where are we found? Where am I? Do I sigh and cry for the abominations done in the land? Am I found amongst that remnant? The Lord has an eternal favour towards. An eternal favour towards. Ah, that chapter in Ezekiel goes on, does it not? And they shall come thither. And so there is that prospect. They shall come thither, and they shall take away all the detestable things thereof and all the abominations thereof from thence. And I'll give them one heart. And I'll put a new spirit within you and take the stony heart out of their flesh. And will give them an heart of flesh that they may walk in my statutes and keep mine ordinances and do them. And they shall be my people. And I'll be their God. But then this warning again. But as for them whose heart walketh after their detestable things and their abominations, the word is I will. It's a solemn thing. This is Almighty God. A God that will not at all acquit the wicked. And shall not the God of all the earth do right in that day of judgment? In that day of judgment, yes, we live when we see the Lord's judgments in the earth, but there shall come a final day. A final day when we shall each have to stand before one. Stand before one. That will not acquit the wicked. Will not at all acquit the wicked. As for them whose heart walketh after the the heart of their detestable things and their abominations, I will recompense their way upon their own heads, saith the Lord. Ah, this word of the Lord. How few heed it in our day. We see in the Lord's hand go out against this nation in judgment and the nations of the earth. It doesn't seem to have any difference or effect upon the wicked. Does it have any effect upon our hearts? Ah, has the Spirit wrought in your heart this through these things? It's been that searching of the heart and a trying of the ways. Ah, have you been wrought upon, yes, even in these things? And some of us, we've had to prove this, it's been a stirring up. Settle upon our lees, have we not? I believe in that earlier part in Zephaniah, does it not say? Yes, it does. In the first chapter of Zephaniah, it says, Hail, ye inhabitants of Maktesh, for all the merchant people are cut down, all they that bear silver are cut off, and it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles and punish the men that are settled on their lees, that say in their heart, The Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. Yes, the word of the Lord, the operations of Almighty God. And how solemn then if it all goes unheeded? And how solemn would it be in our nation if, when the Lord is pleased to stay his hand, there's no change in any of the world, in their hearts? We know the Lord knows them that are his, and they shall hear his voice. But if it had no difference upon us either, made no difference to us, still settle in our ways. Or you read those letters to the churches in the Revelation. They're as necessary today, find its own heart. But oh, what a mercy it brings us to that. Where we're found amongst that afflicted and poor people. That doesn't just mean afflicted in the body, but afflicted. Ah, when we think of something that afflicts, is something which is very trying to the flesh. The flesh doesn't like it. Ah, what a mercy if through these things that we've seen, yes, seen with our own eyes, and through the word, yes, even of these prophets of old, bring us to that place we have found amongst those afflicted, mourning, mourners in Zion, burdened sinners, groaning sinners, feeling to be destitute, out of the way. Ah, when we're unconcerned, when we're still yet dead in trespasses and sins, we came and went from the house of God. We would have heard such portions read even out of the prophets, all the prophets. Perhaps even those things in the nation at the time, they had no effect upon us. Had no effect upon us. But what a mercy if it's had that effect upon us. And we've found amongst these where the Lord speaks, I will leave. I'll also leave. Yes, many left to their own devices, left to the hardness of their heart. And when you consider those two that were crucified, one on either side of the Lord Jesus Christ, One was brought to consider his latter end. One was brought to consider his latter end, saw his great need as it revealed to him. The other, how solemn indeed. As his life ebbed away, and no change. Our lives ebb away. We add hour to hour. Well, we can come to even smaller amounts than that in measurements, second to second, minute to minute, hour to hour, and day by day, week after week, month after month, and year by year, and decades. Our lives go by, do they not? As a passing shadow, as a tale that is told. And when we consider one another, yes, as I consider even our own family, those who once occupied places in our hearts, in our lives, they occupy those places naturally no more. That place that knew them knows them no more. Their time hastens, does it not? How stands the case, my soul, with thee? My soul as well. How stands the case, my soul? It's an important question. Yes, we have many questions to answer in our days. We're not questions upon questions and things that have to be attended to. But when it comes down to it, how stands the case, my soul, with thee? Oh, what a mercy if we should be brought like Isaiah. Yes, he is one also raised up of Almighty God to reprove. And to exhort, to return, to repent, and to forsake their ungodly ways, for that day of judgment was to come. And you read that chapter 5, it heads over the top, does it not? God's judgments upon sinners. And then you read in that prophecy, comes that chapter 6. Oh, if we have a sight of one, even as the prophet Isaiah saw there, just a glimpse, shall it not make us tremble? We read there, do we not? And these things, they are left on record for our instruction. Yes, for our learning. And may it be so to one or another, whether young or in the midst of life or older. But oh, certainly that day must come when we shall have to answer for the deeds done in the body. And like it was then with Isaiah, when he saw that view, as we read, do we not? In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, and each one had 6 wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. One cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy. I thought upon that. They cried. And it had that impression upon the prophet Isaiah. He heard that cry, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Not only that, we read, do we not, and the posts of the doors moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. Had that impression upon him, and when the Spirit moves in the heart, it will have that like impression upon you. You won't forget it. For it is that word, when that word is applied, that one is brought to tremble under the law. He sees that law he fails under again and again. Realise he has a need, a desperate need. He shall be found among those afflicted and poor. Proud, haughty self that had need of nothing before is brought low. Brought very low. Afflicted and poor people. And so as the prophet Isaiah, such was that sight. Yes, the prophet Isaiah is one that was favoured of Almighty God. Chosen indeed. Anointed for that office and sent forth to speak in the Lord's name. But there he cried this, did he not? Woe is me. Then said I, woe is me. Yes, he not only dwelt amongst the people of unclean lips, but he declared of himself, woe is me, for I'm undone. Because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. May we likewise have that view. I feel in our day there's not much of a view of that. Sin is treated with a measure of indifference. The world treats it with indifference, certainly. And certain sins now are, well, how solemn is the day? Where evil is good, is called good, and good is called evil. But all what we see creeping in our midst and in our own hearts, an indifference to sin, an indifference to iniquity. How solemn indeed. But oh, if there's that view by one of one, not just holy. We can read those words upon the page. Holy, holy, holy. But those seraphims cried out, did they not? Holy, holy, holy. They cried it out. And it had that impression upon him. That he said, woe is me. For I am undone. Because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes, that's not the natural eye, but that's the eye of faith, that one of the new man, that one that truly is brought as that one, afflicted and poor. Yes, the foulest sinner, out of hell that lives to feel his need, they shall come like this. I am undone. And prophet Isaiah, he felt he had a need there. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. I am a man of unclean lips. Mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. It was a burden to him. It wasn't something that was had a matter of indifference. He could just, well, forget about it the next moment. But oh, was it not that groaning? Groaning there, burdened sinner. Are you found as one then that groans under that burden of sin? And afflicted and poor people. sums up your case, does it not? An afflicted and poor people, with nothing in their hands, as hymn writer put it. Ah, you'll have to come there, with nothing in my hands I bring, but simply to thy cross to cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Saviour, ere I die. Ah, did not those first two hymns we had this morning, those parts of that hymn, 803. Has that one become all your desire? Worth more than anything here below? Ah, yes. What a mercy if that has been wrought in your heart and you're found amongst those afflicted and poor. You desire Christ. You desire Christ. You desire to handle, taste and feel of one so precious, yes, you've been brought to see as your eyes have been opened and your ears unstopped. That one that you once despised and rejected, but you now see such a value and a beauty and a wonder in such a one. Those things that you once, yes, esteemed on earth like men of nature, men in their natural condition. You see, one that is more precious by far than all this. And you can come with those words in the epistle of Peter, unto you therefore which believe he is precious, and you long to lay hold. And the question in that second part, and did the darling Son of God for sinners deign to bleed? And you come in that personal way. Was it for me? Was it for me? He, yes, suffered in the Garden of Gethsemane. Hung in that agony upon the cross at Calvary, where he's made a curse. Yes, that one that bore the hiding of his father's face. And what an agony it was there, because of that sin that was laid upon him, that one that knew no sin but made sin for his people. That darkness came over all the earth and over his soul, whereby he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And you long to see your interest in that one that so offered himself once and for all as that spotless lamb. That spotless lamb, yes, without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sin. A sacrifice must be made, and there's that one that offered himself. And you long to lay hold upon that one that not only suffered, bled, and died, but the grave could not hold him. Yes, those that did not believe in the resurrection, they were of all men most miserable. And we would remain in our misery, would we not, had it not been for a risen Christ. A risen Christ, the hope of glory. And you long to lay hold upon that one now that sitteth on the right hand of the Father. You fear to presume. Oh, I can remember that time when I feared to presume. I fear to presume. But oh, what a mercy indeed. The Lord does reveal himself. The Lord does, yes, and as that That in Zephaniah, yes, as much spoken there to the wicked and the judgment. And the judgment that should come upon them, but to that remnant. That remnant. Ah, you read it again at your leisure. But oh, may you be brought into that latter part of that chapter. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. For what does it read? The Lord hath taken away thy judgments. Ah, that one that satisfy the law in your room, place, and stead. Oh, what a mercy when that's made known unto a poor sinner. Then they sing. Remember when the Lord brought me into that place, a little hope in his mercy, a measure of that liberty of the gospel. I felt there were some things I could sing which I'd never been able to sing with a heart before. Ah, yes, the Lord can do it. You may feel to be as that one dumb at the moment. Bondage. Still bound with those grave clothes of sin and death. But like it was with Lazarus. His sisters said of him, did they not, unto the Lord, behold, he stinketh. Seeing the desperate case there, laid in the grave those days. That natural corruption, no doubt, taking place. But oh, and you may feel, well, I feel like those bones scattered at the grave's mouth. You read of that chapter in Ezekiel where it speaks of those dry bones. They came together. Flesh came upon them. And the Spirit breathed upon them. Living souls. Living souls. And like it was then with Lazarus, the Lord commanded, yes, unto those afflicted and poor people. And we read in that verse, did we not? We read, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. Well, Lazarus, no man could command him to come forth. But who commanded it? The Lord. He is able, poor sinner, to do for you more than you can ask or even think. Ah, he gave that command, Lazarus, come forth. And he came forth, yes, still bound with those grave clothes of sin and death. But then the Lord commanded again, loose him and let him go. Ah, that time of love, that time of joy. Ah, yes. Those have known what it is, sorrow. Sorrow after their sins and their iniquities. Ah, sorrow after that one whom, yes, they sinned against. You may have sinned against a man, but you're brought to that place, you see, it's a holy God. A holy God. Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord hath taken away thy judgments and cast out thine enemy. Ah, the enemy, yes, that trembling sinner, that one that knows what it is to be afflicted and poor. What do we see in the Shulamite? But company of two armies. Ah, that warfare, but you'll begin the little then of that peace of God. We know that one will come again and again, such as those times and scenes like it was with Job, permitted to come into his path. But oh, when that peace of God, which passeth all understanding, it's granted. You're found like Mary, sitting at his feet, hearing his words. And those words are sweet to your taste, but the time has gone to leave it there. May the Lord forgive anything spoken amiss. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Burgess hopes to address the Sunday school this afternoon at 2:30. And on Tuesday evening, Mr. John Rosier is expected to preach. On Friday evening, there will be a prayer meeting for church members at 8:00. And God willing, next Lord's Day, Mr. Mark Seymour will preach and administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. Let us close with hymn 990. Jesus, now thyself reveal, manifest thy love to me. Make me Saviour, make me feel, all my soul's delight in thee. Hymn 990.
Jesus.
Dear Lord, do be pleased to grant that gracious revelation of thyself unto some poor sinner, we plead. Oh, may they see that one who truly is and has been unto one and another of us, the altogether lovely, that one we once despised, we once rejected, but now thou hast made us, hast thou not, unto us that all, that one, yes, to whom we can go, now as that one that ever intercedes for his people with those groanings which cannot be uttered. Oh, what a mercy indeed, so to reveal thyself to one and another, and grant that fresh revelation to one or another. Oh, thou knowest how sometimes we walk in darkness. Such darkness we have no light. And so thou knowest. Do be pleased to bless that which is of thee, and cover the mantle of thy forgiving love over all thou hast heard and seen amiss. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.